Praise the Lord. So as we close this convention, the Workers' Convention 2021, I want to share with us the closing words for this convention. How to help your church grow. How many of you want to help your church to grow? I'm going to make it so simple. Lift your hands. Come, let me see your hand. You want your church to grow, because you can either help it grow or make it struggle. It's left for you to help your church grow. When you join an organization in the secular world, is to help them grow. When you make friends, is to help them grow. When you get married, is to help the other person grow. When you, whatever thing you belong to, you are meant to contribute. And we mustn't, like I said yesterday, develop what I call an entitlement culture. He must do this for me. She must do that for me. Marriages usually last when individuals see the other person as their responsibility. By the time you are acting that this is a symbiotic relationship, not parasitic. Oh, let me take from this guy. Let me take from that woman. Things usually will break down. Same thing in any relationship, any organization, anything you belong to. You have to make sure you are productive to ensure that they are growing. And as a Christian who is planted in a local assembly like you are here, you must ensure you are helping the other person grow. Matthew's Gospel 28 verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe what things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And they said, amen. So that's it shows that there is already a mandate. Whether we heard a voice from heaven or we had an encounter in the mountain, there is a mandate already. A mandate upon the body of Christ, upon the local assembly, Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name, that shall cast out demons, shall speak with new tongues. He says, they shall take up serpents. If you drink anything, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Our Lord has spoken this to them. Then he was brought to heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth everywhere, preaching the word, the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. And he said, amen. So that's the mandate of the local assembly. To make disciples, to preach the gospel everywhere. In Luke 24, after Jesus had opened the understanding, verse 45, that they may understand the scriptures. And he says, thus is written, the view of Christ to suffer and raise from dead the third day. Verse 47, and repentance and remission of sins you preach in his name among generations beginning at Jerusalem. Verse 48, you have this at this stage, and he told them to behold, I set the presence of my Father upon you. However, I told them to tie in the city of Jerusalem to be a new power from on high. So there is a mandate. There is a commission, a mandate. John 20:21. As my Father has sent me, even so sent are you. As my Father has sent me, even so sent are you. Then he breathed on and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, I retain. So there is a mandate, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power, after which the Holy Ghost is come upon you, you shall be witness unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. So it's a fact that God has commanded that the body of believers should keep growing. It's a fact. Growth is part of God's instructions to us. Say, growth is an instruction. I don't think I heard it. Growth is an instruction. To increase is God's instruction. Say it again, to increase is God's instruction. In Genesis 1:26, say, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over every creeping thing that moves upon the earth. Then he made man, created him in his likeness as the image, male and female created in them. Then he said to them and blessed them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Fill it. So, there is a mandate upon the body of Christ to grow. It's an instruction. God asks us to pray always. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always, all prayer and supplication of the Spirit. Praying always. Romans 12:12. Be instant in prayer. Colossians 4, 2 and 3. Yes, God told us to pray all the time. To walk in love. Ephesians 5, 2. Walk in love. As Christ also has loved you. And give himself as a sacrifice. Sweet smelling savor unto God. Yes, we walk in love. Walk in the spirit. We have the same instruction to grow. You have the same instruction. The mandate to make disciples of every nation shows that we must grow. So where you have found a local assembly and you are not helping it grow, you are definitely not in the will of God. Ask yourself, in your church, in your local assembly today, Saints Community Church Abuja, Saints Community Church Port Harcourt, are you helping them grow or are you the cause of they are not growing? So you have to ask yourself those questions. Are you helping them grow? Are you a cog in the wheel of progress? Some folks are a cog in the wheel of progress. While we are trying to move like this, they keep dragging us backward. We're trying to move like this, keep dragging us backward. While the pastor should spend time with a new convert, he's spending it on this kind of brother, this kind of sister. E.W. Kenyon said, there are some overgrown babies. They always want the milk. What we should be giving the new convert is always in their mouth. They want the same attention a new convert should have. They want the same focus, the same kind of counsel you give to a new convert, a new member. That's what they require. Such men will never help us grow. Some that can't take simple instruction. The pastor gives an instruction. This is what we do. I told you before, I never get it wrong. There are instructions peculiar to local assemblies. There are things I can say to you, of course scriptural, that another pastor might not say to his flock yet, or might have said, or may not say it at all. So you have to know that. And today, unlike when we were growing up, you know your church, you know your pastor, you know where you attend on Sunday, on Wednesday. Now, people can attend service in the morning in their church, another one in the afternoon on their phone, another one in the evening by television. Before you know it, there are multiple allegiances and multiple instructions, sometimes counter instructions. So you have to be sensible as a believer. Where is my church? Who is my pastor? Where is my church? Who is my pastor? Where is the local assembly I belong to? When you find people like that all over the place, they contribute growth to nowhere. This is your local church. Am I correct? This is your local assembly. This is where God has called you. You have to first of all realize that God, I mean, if you believe that anyway, that God put you here. God called you here. So you must obey God here. You must do the will of God here. You must do what He wants here. And the will of God, says community, Yaba, says community, it's will of God for your life is to help your church grow. Say the will of God for my life is to help my church grow. Say it again, the will of God for my life is to help my church grow. Say it again, the will of God for my life is to help my church grow. Say it's the will of God that all men be saved and, excuse me, to come to the knowledge of the truth. So if that's the will of God, that happens through the local assembly. Everything, every growth, everything we see in the book of Acts was through the local church. Acts 2:1. They were all in one place in one accord. The growth is through the local church. World evangelism is effective most in the planting of local churches. Now don't forget, local churches can be that cell unit, that house fellowship, that fellowship on campus, that fellowship near the bridge. That is how God wants us to reach the world. So your commitment there is your commitment to the gospel. When you see a guy say, I'm for the gospel, I'm for the gospel. We cover the earth, the word of God is going, and there's no commitment to a local church. You are the drunken sailor. You have a Christian that is into taba. You know what taba is? The Greek word for taba is taba. They're not serious. It's your commitment to that local church. There's a commitment to the gospel. And you must Help your church grow. Don't become the subject matter every week, every month. Subject matter. They are trying to call you. They are trying to find you. They are trying to be found of you. Because you are just a cock in the wheel. You should be the reason why your church is making progress. Can we ask today? Oh, if you say, this church is making progress. Thank God for so and so brother. Thank God for so and so sister. Thank God. Not that you are the same person that, oh God, oh ah. So, when you see some people talk, you say, ah, have you spoken to Bro Kole? Ah, I can see he has affected you. So people are like that. That is the role they play. The role they play. Anybody they move close to just loses his zeal for God. Anybody they move close to just stops honoring the pastor and submitting to him. Anybody they talk to just becomes like a Jessica. Every church has that cross to bear. Such people, they will not go and they will not be gone. They will just stay there and keep creating problems. I know you are not that kind of person. Because I trust God and I trust you that you are doing the will of God in your churches. You have to help your church grow. You have to help your church grow. Don't become the problem. Be the solution. Don't become the problem. Be the solution. Be the reason why we are doing the will of God. Be the reason why we are there fulfilling God's mission and will upon our lives. Don't be the one that is giving us problems. Imagine years ago, we had labored so much, you know, planting the church, doing the work, and when we had this particular outreach, where we got a lot of boys who were in the secret call, the confraternity is born again. So we began for them the foundation school. And we began to teach them, and began to teach them. And we, you know, did as much as we could. And then we put this particular fellow up them. Among the teachers at the foundation school. This particular fellow now had a problem with the leadership and then fell out. With me, really. I went to each of those people in the foundation school and said, don't go to that church again. These are few boys that just came out of the cult. Say, don't go to that church again. Don't mind them. They do this one. They don't want you to prosper in life. They don't this one. And all that. And then those boys just went back to the world. What kind of a person is that? What kind of a person is that? So, and some people, when they are in offense, they can drag Jesus under their feet. They don't care. Their emotions, when their emotions are on red alert, they don't care what's going to happen. Make sure you are not that kind of person. Because hear me. Anything you sow, you will reap. If you do that in the church of God, you are going to reap it. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you will of the spirit live life everlasting. It's a fact. Galatians 6, 7 into 8. So you must sow the right things. Yeah, I sow the right things. Don't be the reason why people are no longer committed in their churches. You are the reason why people are no longer praying anymore. You say, you know, he explained some things to me. Yeah, she explained some things. What are they explaining to you? That removes your simple devotion. So a church has a mandate to grow. Acts of the Apostles. Let's run through a few things. The book of Acts is a book of growth. Jesus, watch this. He met with the 12. And then the other disciples. By the time we got to Acts 1, and verse 15, they were 120. By the time we got to Acts 2 and verse 41, they were 3,000. By the time we got to Acts 4, verse 4, 5,000 were added. Acts 4, 4. By the time we got to Acts 6, 1, it now says multitudes, multitudes, multitudes. Multiply. The number of disciples, pardon me, was multiplied. Verse 2. The multitude of disciples was now something they couldn't number. By the time we got to Acts 8, 5, the whole, Acts 8, verse 8, there was great joy in the city. Many. You can go on and on. Acts. Yeah. So you keep saying, how did this happen? Now, Acts 2 and 46. They continue in one accord, regardless of the singleness of heart, I'm going to take 47, praising God and having favor with all the people and the Lord. Acts 2:47. And the Lord added to the church such daily as should be saved. The Lord added. The Lord added. He added to the church. That's what he's saying here. Acts 2:47. Acts 4. They pray that they may speak the word with boldness in verse 31. By then it's got to Acts 5 and verse 14. The believers were more added to the Lord, multitude both of men and women. Multitudes. Acts 6:7. The word of God increased and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Multiplied greatly. I told you at the cell leaders conference that it was believed that the entire place was about 200,000. And the church alone was between 80 and 100,000 or so. So which means almost a third of the whole place till half of the whole city were born again. That is the will of God. God never called us to be remnants according to number. He's remnant based on consecration. But we are supposed to be an occupational army going around and winning more souls, increasing in number. Acts 8, I read that earlier. No, Acts 9. Acts 9. Acts 9. And verse 31. It says, and the churches had rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord, in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, they were multiplied. The emphasis cannot be mistaken. They were multiplied. Acts 11, verse 21. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. A great number. Don't say a great number. I didn't hear you say a great number. Say it again. Say a great number. Acts 12:24. And the word of God grew and multiplied. Every time they say the word of God is growing, hear what they are saying. What they are saying, number of believers are increasing. It's not a so much insight in the word is being found. No, that is part of it. But what they are saying is that the people, the churches are increasing in number. I see people talk about the word is growing, the word is growing, the word is growing. I see them on social media and they do exactly what the word does not need to grow. The word is growing. They become petty. Petty. They become nosy. Nosy. Busybody. Not minding their own business. Not minding their own business. Somebody, a member of this church, once sent me something that she found, you know, somewhere. He said, ah, sir, what do you say about this church? See what they are doing. I said, is your name there? I said, no. Is that your pastor? No. What is your business? Go and meet your own disciples. Teach them. Go for evangelism this evening. Stop looking for what is not lost. The world grows, the churches grow. If the churches are not growing, the world is not growing. What did I say? I didn't hear you. At the back, I can't hear you. If the churches are not growing, the world is not growing. Let's talk about the world growing because you are putting out insight on Facebook. That's nonsense. The world is not growing because you explain some things on Facebook. That's nonsense. The world is not growing because you are attacking preachers. That's nonsense. The world is not growing because you are doing Facebook Live. Everybody say, hey, I like it. No, the world is growing because disciples are multiplying. The world is growing because people are getting born again. That is how the world grows. Acts 13:48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorify the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published, verse 49, Acts 13, throughout all the region. So when you read Acts 19, Acts 19, virtually every chapter, you will see growth, 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 growth. Acts 18, verse 8, people were saved in their numbers. Acts 18:11, Acts 19:20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Why did he say this? Because in verse 17, he says this was known to all the Jews and Greeks who dwelt at Ephesus, and fearful of the Lord, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came, confessed, and showed their deeds. That is how the word grows. People are born again. And committed to churches. Committed as disciples. That is the word growing. The word growing is not your pastor having some peculiar insight into the mystery of redemption. No! The word growing is that yesterday we were 10, tomorrow we are 20, the week after we are 50. That is how the word grows. When the word grows, the churches grow. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? The word growing is not you having some deep knowledge of the word and Greek and Hebrew. Yes, that helps the word to grow, but the word growing means that the number of disciples are multiplying daily. Look at that, Acts 2:47. It says, as the Lord added to the church. I've seen people say things, well, it's not my part to make the church grow. It's the Lord that adds to the church. Nonsense. How did the Lord add to the church? The Lord added to the church with believers. How does the Lord walk on earth? He walks through believers, willing hearts. God walks through you and I. The Lord will add to your church when you add to your church. The Lord will add to your church when you add to your church. Not when you take away from your church. 1 Corinthians 3:9. It says, we are co-laborers. Say, I'm a co-laborer. So if you say the Lord adds to the church, that means the Lord is working. Now it says, we are co-laborers. 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 Sunergios in the Greek. S-U-N-E-R-G-O-S. You see it used by St. Paul. Watch this. This is critical. He calls God, 1 Corinthians 3:6, a co-laborer. Can they ask you today, who are the workers in your church? You will mention, you can say, Jumoke, Wale, Kule, Bola. You know, that's what you are going to say. But Paul says, a worker in your church is the Lord. The Lord is a worker in our assembly. We are co-laborers with the Lord. Now go to Romans 6. We'll move quickly. Romans 6 and verse 3. My helpers in Christ Jesus. My helpers in Christ Jesus. Verse 9. Our helper in Christ Jesus. Verse 21. My kinsmen. My work fellow. So he counted those who are working with him, and he also counted God. A worker in every department. A worker in every cell. God is a worker everywhere. Same word you will see in 2 Corinthians 1:24, 2 Corinthians 8:23, used for fellow believers. Philippians 2:25. Epaphroditus is a fellow soldier, a messenger, a co-worker. Philippians 4:3, he calls Clement a fellow laborer. Fellow laborer, true yoke fellow. Philippians 4:3, Colossians 4, and verse 11. He calls a certain Justus a fellow worker. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. 1 Thessalonians 3:2. Timotheus, a fellow laborer. Philemon 1:1-20. Philemon 1:1 is calls Philemon a fellow laborer. Then verse 24, fellow laborers. So, God is equally a laborer. Don't say, he's God adding to the church. No, it's when you are working that he is working. So let me quickly run through about 6 things or so, how to help your church grow. Number one, pray daily for your church. What did I say? I don't think I heard you. Daily for your church. I want you to put this, as a younger Christian, then we'll put it on our cupboards, our lockers. Put it in your, maybe in your office or your desk, so you see it every day. One, pray daily for your church. Ephesians 6:18, like I said earlier, praying always. Pray daily for your church. A church you pray for daily, you'll be committed to it. Pray daily for your church. Number two, be available daily. Notice the emphasis, daily. I'm not saying go to church every day. Mm-mm. Be available daily. Be available daily. The believer is such that he has to be on call. On call. Doctors know what I'm saying. Nurses. You are on call means they can call you anytime. Be available. One of the crucial elements of commitment in a local church is availability. We can find you, we can see you, we can use you. Be available. Be available. Look at how Timothy was so available. Acts 16, Paul goes, ah, that guy, he will go with you. I mean, he wasn't planning it. He went with him. And you will see the same pattern followed. Paul had an issue, he will send Timothy. Thessalonica, he was there. He was there in Corinth. He was there. When there was issue in Ephesus, he sent him there. Available. Be available. Number three. To help your church grow, you have to consistently be reaching out to the lost. Consistently. Don't make others get lost. Reach the lost. Some of us, what we do, not in this church. Some Christians, what they do is to make others get lost. Rather than make people get settled in local churches, you go and confuse them. Reach out more to people. Reach out daily. Number four, raise disciples. To raise disciples simply means to have people that you are grooming to. People that you are grooming. People that you are grooming. It's a mandate for all of us, Matthew 28:19 and 20, that you are grooming. Whenever you see somebody in the local assembly that has nobody, he's grooming. That person is a time bomb ticking. A ticking time bomb. He will create a problem one day. Because he is not responsible towards anybody, and nobody is responsible towards him. Make disciples. Make disciples. Make disciples in your church. How would you say you are coming to church alone? Abba! 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 Next year's workers' convention, we should be able to point somebody at the extreme of the hall and say, you came for that person who was led to Christ by you. That person was brought to the church by you, was served by you. That is how to know you are helping your church grow. Not to just sit down, warm the benches, sit down every Sunday and lift your hands and worship God. Thank God for that, for you must help your church grow. Make disciples. Number five, give. Give. Your church needs your money. Give. Give your material resources. Galatians 6:6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teacheth in all good things. The giving of material things helps the fullness of the gospel. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the horse that treads the corn. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Your giving is part of how you have your church grow. Your church has material needs. Your church, look at Acts 2. As people got born again. See, and obviously people came from different parts of the world from Pentecost. They got born again, 3,000 of them, and they couldn't go back. They had to stay to learn the word. That's why the discipleship is very intentional. If it might be today, people say, don't worry, go back. We'll send you tapes. We'll send you CD. Don't worry. Go on, leave me World Media. No! Discipleship is too important to first go. They stayed. They left whatever they were doing, canceled the appointments, and stayed over at Jerusalem to be taught. But there was not a problem. Where would they live? How would they feed? How would they take care of themselves? What happened? Believers now selling their properties. If you know what a Jew is and how they rank properties, you know what has just happened. They were selling lands and houses, breaking the process to help the cause of the gospel. So your giving shows you are seeing the gospel as a priority. As a priority. How do you give offerings? You just give offerings casually, lackadaisically. Or you plan every week, I'll be giving 5,000, I'll be giving 2,000. I know this is important for the gospel. Every quarter, I'll give 1,000,000. I mean, that is how to help your church grow. Can I have an amen? I've told you, corruption of the saints. and are given to the to all the churches in Asia. So do ye. I give the order to the churches in Asia, at the fourth of every week that you should lay in store as you have been prospered. It's an instruction. Learn to give. Number six or so, is it six now or seven? Work hard. Work hard in your secular duties. One of the ways you will help your church is to take care of all secular issues of your life. The moment you're having a problem with your career, you're not diligent there, lackadaisical, it's going to affect your church. If you mishandle your marriage, it's going to affect your church. If you mishandle your health, it's going to affect your church. If you mishandle anything, your finances, it is going to affect your church, because your church is an integral part of your life. So take care of the natural affairs. Natural affairs. Why do you think Paul will say, the man that does not take care of the household, he has denied the faith, was an infidel? Why would he say that? How does that concern the church? Because it concerns the church. Why does he give instructions about taking care of your children and taking care of your wife and your husband, be submissive? Because it's going to affect the church. Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more. Let him walk with his hands, that which is good, that he may have to give. That means that if you take care of your secular affairs, it becomes a blessing to the church. Take care of your secular affairs. If you're a student, ensure you face your studies very well. Be diligent. You already know you have work to do in the ministry. You have souls to cater for. Take care of your academics well. If you're a businessman, take care of your business well. In your career, make sure that you are diligent. A good example of a believer. Then you will help your church grow. Are you in church? Work hard. So your secular commitment is equally a ministry or a help in the work of the ministry. 2 Thessalonians 3, where Paul gave the instruction. He said in verse 9, not because we have no power, but we make ourselves an example unto you. That is, it becomes an example in your church. And finally, want your church to grow. Always. Oh, you filled the hall last week. Let's do second service next week. That's how a fellow who wants the church to grow behaves. Play for me a close. You say, wow, last camp meeting, we filled the whole place. You're thinking, next camp meeting, we look for another place. That is the kind of member we need in the church. Someone who says, how come last week we had 14 new, 14 first timers? This week is 13. Why? It should be 20. That we should do more. That is the kind of member that a local church should look out for. Do you want your church to grow? Do you want your church to grow? Or are you the clock in the wheel of progress? Be available. Pray daily. Be available. Reach out all the time. Reach the lost. Give. Be submissive to authority. Let me add that word. Be submissive to authority. Don't be unruly. Be submissive. A local church where the workers are all submitted to the pastor. Nobody is trying to do his own thing. They are definitely going to grow. They are definitely going to grow. They are definitely going to grow. I asked a long-standing minister. He ran a ministry for about, how many years? I think 50 or 60 years. And not one of them fell apart. So I asked him, how did you do it? 50 of them. He said, one, we prayed for each other every day. That was the third one, actually. We prayed for each other daily. That was the third. The other, he said, number one. He said, we don't seek to know everything about ourselves. We just ensure that we keep our focus on the work that was committed to our trust. He said, number two. He said, nobody was trying to compete with the other person so that I will be higher than this person. I will know more than this person. I will get better than this person. It wasn't like that. Three, we prayed for each other every day. I believe it's an important counsel for us today. Be that brother, that sister that helps the church to grow. Stand to your feet as we close this convention.